Welcome to the Solo 2.0 podcast, where two sisters, Jess and Rye, focused on health and hormone balance to help you step into that 2.0 version of you.
Growing up, we heard all about hormones.
Sometimes more than we wanted.
From our mom, who is a hormone health educator.
As we got older, we rebelled and experienced our own health struggles and ups and downs. But today we have businesses helping people get in tune with their bodies, break free from restrictive eating and lifestyle habits, and learn how to balance their hormones naturally. So what can you expect from this podcast?
Honest conversations and hot topics that should be more mainstream, like period health, cycle tracking, non-hormonal birth control, and our unique take on fad diets and trends that aren't always so supportive for women. Plus, interviews with health and wellness entrepreneurs making a big impact in the world.
Ladies, it's time we align with our powers and redefine what healthy means to us.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Solo 2.0 podcast. This is Jess, holistic health coach and founder of Body Bliss by Jess. And in just a little bit in the episode, we'll be joined by my co-host, Rye Birch, who's my sister and the co-founder of our family business, Your Hormone Balance. So today on the podcast, we sit down with two amazing female founders and BFFs, Rani Menashe and Vita Del Rahim, who are the founders of WeNatal, a prenatal supplement company intentionally designed for both women and men. They aim to change the narrative surrounding fertility and pregnancy, shifting the focus from me to we. Supported by a team of industry-leading doctors and nutrition experts like Dr. Mark Hyman and Kelly Levesque, WeNatal is committed to delivering an innovative prenatal option to the market, enabling couples and babies to thrive during this crucial growth stage of life. I actually discovered WeNatal through a former podcast guest of ours, Dr. Nathan Riley, who's a holistic OBGYN. And since then, I've been taking it myself religiously and recommending it to a good percentage of my clients. And I will say from experience, it is incredibly difficult to find a quality prenatal. It's why I reached out to Nathan to get his opinion and his expertise. It's really hard to find one that's not only been third-party tested without extra fillers and junk, but one that contains bioavailable, functional doses of all the nutrients required when trying to conceive. WeNatal checks all of these boxes. It contains 100% clean ingredients, including nutrients that many other prenatal companies overlook, like choline. And recently, they also introduced an Omega DHA Plus to support the cognitive development of the baby and promote overall health for both mom and dad. As with all their products, it undergoes third-party testing. It's non-GMO, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. And one thing I really love about the Omega is that it's easy to swallow and there is zero fishy aftertaste, which I think all of us can appreciate. So the inspiration behind WeNatal stems from Rani and Vita's personal experience with pregnancy loss, which they share about in this episode. And we think it's really important because unfortunately, miscarriages are very common, but there's still a lot of shame around them, which is something we discuss in the episode, as well as providing tools and support systems to lean on if you or someone you know has had this experience. They also share about the guided journal they created, which is amazing, to support couples during this time in their lives. And in this episode, we cover a lot of ground from the founding story of WeNatal, the importance of quality prenatals and what sets WeNatal apart, why we need to shift the focus of fertility from being just about the woman to it being about the man and the woman, because guess what? Men are 50% of the equation. We also discuss why infertility rates are on the rise and what both men and women can do to optimize their fertility, including stress reduction, mindset work, and visualization practices. We did want to caveat by saying that via our family business, Your Hormone Balance, we offer saliva testing to help our clients get to the root of hormonal imbalances and fertility challenges. And through that testing, we are able to provide a lot of tools and education and recommendations that you can use to take next steps towards natural rebalance. And that includes certain supplements and potentially bioidentical hormones if testing indicates a need. We are very much a test, don't guess company. That's really what we believe in. And we will say, though, that a prenatal like WeNatal can cover a lot of bases in your supplement protocol, which we talk about in this episode. But the caveat that we wanted to make is that we believe that everything's bio-individual, and that's why testing can actually help you to see what else you might want as enhancements in addition to a prenatal like WeNatal. So We will talk more about that in the episode, like I said. And if you are interested in digging a little bit deeper and getting your hormones tested, we will drop information on that in the show notes. And we'll also provide a discount code if you're interested. We do test for estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and cortisol, which is our master stress hormone, 4 times throughout the day, which is really the gold standard for testing for adrenal function. And then we did mention in the episode too, but I want to say it again. If you go to the show notes and you click the link there, you can get the WeNatal Prenatal. And if you sign up for a subscription, you get a free bottle of the omega-3, which is awesome. And I'm personally a huge fan of subscriptions because that keeps me accountable so that I don't run out and then, you know, you don't have it for 2 weeks or something like that. And consistency is really key. So with all of this said, we're excited for you to listen to this episode and let's get right into all the juiciness with our guests, Ronit and Vita. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Ronit and Vita. We're so excited to have you here. I was just sharing with you off before we hit record that I've been recommending your prenatal to pretty much all of my clients that need one. And we'll get into, you know, who actually needs a prenatal because I actually have some questions around that too. I take one and I'm not trying. I take yours. And so I want to dive into that as well. But like most passionate entrepreneurs, especially in the wellness space, you have your own story to getting into the fertility space and the prenatal space. And so let's just kick things right off by having you share your journeys. I know you're best friends and you have a lot in common, including this. So let's get into it.
I love it. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here and share more, Jess and Ryan. But so our story started close to 15 years ago. Ronit and I became best friends in our corporate careers at Nike and literally kind of went through our dating life in LA together. All those horror stories, which I'm sure we can chat about on a different podcast. But literally went through like our young, you know, life together in LA, climbed up the corporate ladder. And it wasn't until we actually met our now spouses around the same time. And we got married a week apart. My honeymoon was actually heading to her wedding in Israel. It was beautiful.
Wow.
So our lives were just kind of interjoined and it was like meant to be. And we always talked about working together, you know, like most best friends, like, oh, we should have an event business. We should have marketing company because that was our passions and our careers. But it wasn't until 2020 when we actually had miscarriages a week apart that the universe kind of gave us a different signal on where we should go and what we need to do. And it was the most aha, biggest impactful moment in our lives. It was actually my second miscarriage and her first. And she was working alongside Dr. Mark Hyman, one of the biggest functional medicine practitioners in the space. And so I had just been dismissed in both of my miscarriages. We were given very similar answers to most of our friends, which was, you know, it just happens. You're 1 in 4, keep trying. You're lucky you even got pregnant. You know, these kind of like very dismissive. And Ronit, coming from the functional medicine space, just wasn't willing to accept that.
Yeah. And so I dove deeper, even though my doctor made me feel like maybe it's my age, maybe it's something that I did. And, you know, that wasn't the complete story to me. And I really tried to figure out just how to optimize myself in order to try to prevent another loss. And so I started to dive into the research. And because we have such an incredible network of fertility doctors and functional medicine practitioners that specialize in fertility, we learned that 50% of pregnancy losses and miscarriages happen because of sperm quality. That was our number one aha. And our bigger aha was when we learned how easy it is to improve sperm quality using antioxidants. Research shows that when a man takes antioxidants like CoQ10, NAC, vitamin C, zinc, they have a 4 times higher chance of their partner conceiving in comparison to a man not taking antioxidants. So I called Vita and I said to her, why isn't anybody talking about this? Why aren't any men's taking prenatals? Why aren't there any companies out there that offer a prenatal for men? We need to do something about this. And that was basically set us on the mission of WeNatal. And we ended up getting into the women's prenatal business just because we were, you know, we couldn't find a prenatal on the market. Once we started to really learn about the nutrients for fertility, the dosages, the forms, all the junk that's in the prenatals out there, we really saw that there was a huge gap in the marketplace and there was a huge need for a product like ours.
Wow. Your story is incredible. And, you know, first of all, my heart goes out to both of you for having to experience miscarriages, because I haven't experienced that, but I know from what I've heard, you know, it almost feels like you lost a piece of yourself and you go through that grieving process. And obviously everybody grieves differently. I'm so glad you had each other. But it's amazing that you used your loss to empower other women and men in their fertility journeys. And just something what you said about like 50% is because of the man. It's like, seems like it should be obvious, but it's surprising, right? And why do you think it is that there isn't, this dialogue isn't out there more? Is it the patriarchy? Is it lack of education? Is it sort of like an antiquated system where it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Probably all of the above, if we're honest. I think that was, for me, the biggest aha. In my first miscarriage, I went through what most women do, which is the self-blame, the doubt. Was it something I ate, I drank, my workout? Was it the stress at work, right? And like, we take on the burden of fertility for, I think, societal history for hundreds and thousands of years. It's been the perception that the burden of fertility is a woman's issue. And we're here to change that narrative. Fertility is not a women's health issue. It's both partners bringing the best and putting their best foot forward. And yes, it's the biggest duh moment. Takes two to make a baby, 50-50, right? But for some reason, scrutiny has always been on what women do prior. And now more and more research, when we started incepting WeNatal, we realized we're not alone. The fertility crisis is alive and well. And unfortunately, there are many factors contributing to this decline in fertility in the world right now, not just in the US, it's pretty much across all nations. And so I think it's a little bit of societal history. I think it's a little bit lack of education of like really going deep on the research on all the things men can do, like Ronit mentioned, and how easy it is for men to really change their sperm quality in 3 months. So I think it's a little bit of both, and the lack of education really on nutrition, that most practitioners are only getting a handful of hours in med school on nutrition, where that could really be the root cause of so many issues.
So true. And I just want to add to that, that when Vita and I launched WeNatal, nobody was talking about the men's component. There were no brands out there that were serving the male consumer. And we set it as our mission to shift the narrative from me to we, and we're actually starting to see that change. It's very exciting. In a year and a half, we launched in April of 2022. In a year and a half, the narrative is starting to happen. Some brands are also starting to, you know, competition is popping up around the male fertility enhancement. And we love it because we can't do this alone. This is like a huge mission. And Vita and I can get more into the stats of what's happening with the sperm decline that we're seeing, and overall decline in male fertility and female fertility. But we're seeing big publications talking about it, articles that have included us, including like Forbes and CBS. And so it's very exciting to see that the narrative is slowly shifting. There's still so much that we have to do to, you know, actually shift the narrative. We cannot tell you how many times we talk to an OBGYN or a fertility doctor and we tell them about our product and they're like, oh my gosh, that totally makes sense. How have we not thought about that until now? And actually, one out of four couples that go through IVF, the male is not even checked. These are women that are injecting themselves and go and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the man isn't even checked. And 50% of the time, it's infertility, miscarriage, all of those things are due to sperm quality. So we're very fired up about this issue, and there's a lot of work we need to do, but we see the progress already, and it's very exciting.
Yeah. First of all, I'm blown away that you've built this business as quickly as you have. I feel like you're everywhere. Like, I was mentioning to my friend who's trying to get pregnant that we are having you on, and she's like, oh, did you catch their webinar? Yeah, she already knew about you.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. She sent me the webinar. I was like, I didn't know. So yes, you're ever, I mean, I would love just selfishly to ask you a lot of questions about business and how you've grown this fast, but I know that people are wanting to hear more about the fertility tips probably, but I'm going to sneak in some business questions too. But for on that point about male sperm quality and it declining over the last, what is it, 20 years or 30 or I can't remember.
Oh my gosh. It's been on the decline for the last 50 years, basically.
50 years, yeah.
So men today have 50% less sperm compared to their grandfather. So essentially, we've been seeing since the 60s, sperm has been on this like 1% decline per year. And in the last 10 years, that 1% decline has accelerated to 2.6 decline. And, you know, these numbers don't seem like a lot, but if you add it all up and you say, well, 1% for the last 50 years means a 50% decline. And if it keeps going, some researchers are saying that sperm counts can reach zero by 2045. That's around the corner. Wow. And so there's so much that we have to do. When Vita and I, yes, we had our own experience and it was painful. But really, when we started to learn about the stats of what's going on around us, it really fired up our mission that we have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And we see that, you know, population is declining. We have, if you look at just kind of the global fertility rate, it was around 5 births per woman 60 years ago, and now we're at 2.3. 2.1 is when you're at the replacement level, right? Two people make two babies plus. Ish. Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot of countries are below that replacement level. Italy, the average is at, in 2021, the average was 1.3 kids per couple. Japan is 1.3 kids. South Korea is 0.8 kids. China is 1.2 kids. The US, we're at 1.7 kids. So that means that the population is slowly declining, and that can have huge economic implications. And there are many reasons why this is happening, right? It's not just like the fertility crisis. That's one contributor. Of course, there's like, you know, birth control and people delaying having kids later in life and women entering the workforce. But as far as like fertility goes, we're on a mission to kind of help those couples that are having challenges with fertility.
Yeah. So from a nutritional standpoint, because those are major factors, but to your point, nutrition plays a huge role, and we often do put it so much on the woman. And so can you talk about, well, one, what are some of the driving factors that influence sperm count and quality? How does nutrition play a factor in that?
Nutrition is huge. I think looking just generally speaking, research shows, and there's a ton of research on this, that the Mediterranean diet, which is a diet that's full of lean protein and variety of like nuts and seeds and colorful vegetables, eat the rainbow. Research shows that the Mediterranean diet improves sperm count and quality. And so when you're looking at the diet and what people are eating nowadays, and you're just looking at the overall epidemic of chronic sickness here in the US, where 92% of adult Americans have metabolic dysfunction. And the root of that is processed foods. The root is the standard American diet. So that's number one. And I think it's women's fertility too, right? When you look at women's fertility, the number one factor for, or the most common cause of infertility is PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that is often a disease that's rooted in metabolic dysfunction and blood sugar dysregulation. So number one thing that, you know, a couple can do when trying to conceive, I think, is changing their diet and lifestyle. And it's not, obviously, it's not that simple. And we have also our food system is not as nutrient as it used to be, which is why we created a prenatal, because at least the prenatal can, you know, provide that insurance. But I will say, like, you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet, right? So you definitely something that couples need to look at. And it's very important for not just the woman to focus on their diet, but the men too. And so at WeNatal, we have a couple's guide that we created with 9 tips that couples can do to support their fertility. And it's on both of them.
Yeah. What about endocrine disrupting chemicals? I've seen studies about that being a huge driving factor in male sperm count going down. And I know you've shared about that too, the importance of having clean personal care products. But it's interesting because I think the wave, like women are moving that way, being familiar with brands like Ilia and Power 28 or whatever, you know, these clean brands. I'm using Iris and Romeo, which is a makeup and skincare, and we're loving that. But I look at my partner and he's slowly making the change to these cleaner products. But for men, they just roll their eyes at that concept that these products could be really making a difference in any way.
Yeah. I mean, yes to all of that. I would say that Dr. Shauna Swan is a really good researcher that when it comes to endocrine disrupting chemicals and what it does to fertility, especially male fertility, actually. And she talks a lot. She has a book called Countdown, and her book actually talks about phthalates in our environment and the impact of phthalates on men's fertility. And she's seeing it not only in the human species, she's seeing it in animals too. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge resource to point men to. But we always say that when we're talking about implementing these changes, it's kind of overwhelming, right? Yeah. And so, when we think about endocrine disrupting chemicals, I think mostly about our bathroom and our kitchen being the two places where those chemicals exist. And so in the bathroom, yes, switching to safer items. And a lot of times it takes us to buy those cleaner yeah. products for our partners, and at the end of the day, like, we can't switch everything. Like, I've been trying to get my husband off of aluminum deodorant for years. And, he works in construction and he just needs his antiperspirant, you know? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, other things that we can control, let's control. Getting a clean air filter into the house, switching maybe the toothpaste, things that are less, that they're less maybe attached to.
Yeah.
And then the kitchen is an easier one. It's removing plastics. It's removing the Teflon nonstick pans. And honestly, when you switch from buying non-processed foods that actually also have a lot of endocrine disrupting chemicals, that makes a huge difference too. And then the two things that we do all the time, every day, is drinking water and breathing air. So making sure that you have good air filters in your house, opening your window, spending times outdoors, getting a plant that can clean your air quality, and getting a good source of clean water.
And we have an amazing preconception guide for free for all people on our website. But I think the best advice that we heard from some of our advisors is it can get really overwhelming if you think of like, oh my God, I have to like clean out my kitchen and my bathroom. And like the best advice we got was one thing at a time. When you run out of your mascara, maybe look for a cleaner version. When you need new cleaning product, like it doesn't have to be overnight. And like Ronit said, like there's some bigger players like your water and air that affect you kind of more often than not. And slowly adopt better practices. And actually Ronit gave me the best advice when she said, like, you're going to want to do this anyway. When the baby comes into the house, you're going to want to have a cleaner house and have less toxins and all that. So just think of it as like slowly making your home baby and setting like a great foundation for your future family.
Yeah, definitely. I think automating it as well can be helpful, like brands like Thrive Market and Grove Collaborative, where the prices yes. are actually really reasonable. And then you just get the subscription. So it's like every couple of months, it just naturally shows up, because I feel like with forming new habits, a lot of it is the inconvenience or remembering or whatever. And so maybe you forgot to get toothpaste and all that's close to you is the corner store and they only sell Crest, you know, but it's like, if you have that subscription or you're automating things, or it's just like maybe you send your husband to the grocery store and you just put it on the list. Like I think yeah. just ways that you can create less of a barrier to entry. And then I think also finding brands that you trust and love, that you know, you're not buying like a million different brands, but you're like, I know that everything that I get from Branch Basics is awesome. Like, I know that everything yes. I get from Thrive Market is awesome, or Ilia is awesome. So you have like a few different brands that you can go to. And a lot of the, because the non-toxic space is so much more prevalent now, there's a lot of brands that are doing it for a way more affordable prices. So I think that's also one of the barriers. People say it's more expensive, but I've actually found a lot of brands that are pretty much on par, right? And then I think it's also feeling good about where you're spending your money. Like, oh, in, for example, with your prenatal, not only are you supporting your body in a much healthier way, but you're also supporting a woman-owned business of two women who get it and they've been through miscarriage and they have a story, versus purchasing a product from like, who owns Crest? Who knows? Who cares? Like, I'd rather support a business that's actually doing good things in the world. And I think, you know, you're kind of voting with your dollars too, which is important.
100%. And mm-hmm. I think people have been voting with their dollars, which is why we're starting to see more of a change and seeing more of these cleaner products available to everybody. I actually just saw somebody sharing a story about Kris Jenner launched a new cleaning product line. So I'm like, okay, if the Kardashians are doing it, that means that this is like what the mass market is looking yeah. for. And, yeah. You know, we used to, I think when I was pregnant with my first, she's now seven, finding those clean ingredients and clean products, you really had to do your research yourself. There were only like a handful of companies that were doing wow. it. Like, I used to have, I think it was like Beauty Counter was one of the first ones. And yeah. now it's just so common. And you're not, it doesn't feel like crunchy or, I mean, I love Ilia too, you know, and it feels as luxurious as Chanel. It doesn't feel like a trade-off. And yeah. so it's just so much easier. And I agree with your comment on automation. We love Thrive Market. We love ButcherBox. We love Seatopia for clean seafood. Making it easy and come to you is huge.
Yeah, definitely. On that note, I just, no offense to Tom's, like they were one of the first like non-toxic toothpaste, but our mom used to get that and be like, I do not feel clean after I brush my teeth, you know, or like there's just better ones that have come out now where it's more minty or like the deodorant. Yeah. Like I feel like I smell worse. And
well, I think that's the thing in all of this. Yeah. And my comment of like, women are moving, but maybe men aren't. And there's a lot of women that aren't yet moving in that direction because you do have your makeup brands that you love and work for you. And I think at root of a lot of this resistance to making the change is not understanding the why. And yeah. So us in our hormone health business, we talk a lot about xenoestrogens and the fact that these endocrine disrupting chemicals can actually act as estrogen in the body. They can increase your estrogen burden, throw off the balance with progesterone, and now you're having fertility challenges. Like it is a direct link to that. It's not just be cleaner. Like I don't think most people understand that. And that is similar with the sperm count. So
this is like impacting men on a very deep level. Yes, it's impacting female fertility, but on the men's side, it's definitely, you know, having, you know, men in utero and having like that lower testosterone, more estrogen because of all of these endocrine disrupting chemicals will impact them for their entire life. So the other thing that we often share with our community is this preconception time frame, the pre-pregnancy time frame is not forever. And so if your partner has bad habits, let's call it smoking, or let's call it drinking, or you know, maybe it's their deodorant or whatever it is, they don't have to do it forever. And men actually have this incredible process called spermatogenesis, where their sperm regenerates every 71 days. And so their sperm today is from 71 days ago. So they literally just need 2 to 3 months of life, of diet and lifestyle changes in order to make that impact on their body and their sperm. So also a conversation is like, this isn't forever, because a lot of times when people hear, okay, you need to make these changes and it's forever, then that's overwhelming. But can you do something for 2 to 3 months so that our child can have not just so that we can have a child, but so we can have a healthy child for their entire life? And so that's, I think, like the bigger conversation. And then, of course, like once someone starts to like implement the changes, they feel so good and they kind of stay on it. I'll say in the case of the prenatal, a lot of the men take WeNatal and they not only have improved sperm quality, but they have more energy, mental clarity, focus, libido, hair growth. And they're like, oh, I'm going to keep taking this as a multi because I feel so good.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that concept, the multi? Because this is where for women, like Jess said at the top, women that aren't even trying to get pregnant, a prenatal is essentially an elevated multivitamin, right? Yeah. And so I think a lot of people don't really understand that. And then same kind of concept for men. So like, let's start with the men, but how would their standard multi differ from, you know, talk about the star ingredients that are really going to help their sperm quality.
Yeah. Well, definitely I would say both the men's and women's formula have nutrients that are very targeted and very specific to overall fertility. And that includes sperm in the men's side. It's not just sperm count, it's sperm motility. So how fast they swim, morphology, their shape, DNA fragmentation. So that's the quality and the overall like DNA integrity of the sperm. And so some of those nutrients, we talked about antioxidants. So those would be nutrients like L-carnitine, vitamin C, vitamin E, NAC, zinc. Men, just studies after studies after studies. And honestly, like you could go into PubMed and search antioxidants, sperm, and you will see all the studies that show that those men have way higher chances of impregnating their partners. CoQ10 is a huge one too. CoQ10 is a molecule that's found in every cell of the body. And CoQ10 has been shown to improve sperm concentration, motility, morphology. So that's a big one. And WeNatal has 200 milligrams of CoQ10, which is the minimum effective dose that's needed. It's interesting to see just in the general prenatal space, you'll have brands that have like all of the nutrients that are needed, but the dosages are so low, they make like no difference whatsoever. CoQ10 is one of those because CoQ10 is the most expensive ingredient in our formula. And so a lot of men's formulas have CoQ10, but like 50 milligrams, it's not enough. You need at least 200. And then folate, which is a form of B vitamin in the methylated form. So that's one that I want to talk about. Methylated folate is bioavailable, means that everybody can absorb the nutrient. The synthetic form is folic acid, and 40% of the people cannot convert folic acid into the bioavailable form, which is why we include the bioavailable form, folate, methylfolate, 5-MTHF. And there's studies upon studies that show that couples taking folate, both the man and the woman, in the bioavailable form have higher chances of conception. There's one specific study from 2018 that looked at 30 couples that had infertility for 4 years. They put them on 600 milligrams of folate for 3 months, and 13 of those 30 conceived naturally. So there's definitely so much power in these nutrients. And then omega-3, these fatty acids reduce inflammation, improve overall health, and improve testosterone and overall sperm quality. So that's another one. And then on the women's, that was a handful, and I can go into like our entire formula. And actually, just to share, when we launched WeNatal, we included nutrients that were very specific to sperm quality. And then 6 months after, we reformulated and made it, included those nutrients still, but added a few different B vitamins to make it a multi, because so many men were saying, like, I feel so good on it. So we wanted to give them a multi so they could just keep taking it as their everyday vitamin. And then on the women's side, I think we are so passionate about the women's prenatal because we were taking a prenatal that we thought was comprehensive, but wasn't. It had vitamin D that was too low. It had 1,000 IUs of vitamin D. And research shows that a woman who's pregnant needs 4,000 IUs of vitamin D. We thought it had magnesium and it didn't. And we were taking 7 pills in our prenatal, which Vita couldn't stomach, which is why we really like the driving force of creating WeNatal is Vita's inability to take a lot of pills. And we were like, we have to create a prenatal that's comprehensive, that fits into 2 or 3 pills a day. And we were able to get our formula into 3 pills. Some of the big differences, I would say like the number one thing that, you know, besides the methylated B vitamins and just the dosages that we have, choline is a nutrient that is crucial for baby brain development. It's crucial for the genetic expression of the growing baby. And there are so many prenatals on the market that don't even include choline. And actually, research just recently came out that 99% of the prenatals on the market don't have enough nutrients to support mom and baby. And we have some brands like Ritual that are now coming out with another product that's a choline product. They're like, okay, well, you were taking my prenatal for all these years and it had 55 milligrams of choline. But now they're saying, well, choline's important for baby brain development, so take this product too. And it's like, well, our prenatal is comprehensive And we follow the science, and which is why we have 400 milligrams of choline. So regardless of whether or not your audience buys WeNatal, then I would say, like, making sure your prenatal has bioavailable ingredients like methylated folate or full, you know, not the folic acid form. Number two, making sure that it has choline in it and it has at least 400 milligrams. Vitamin D, looking at higher than 1,000 IUs of vitamin D, we have 4,000. And then iron is another big one. We have iron in our formula. A lot of formulations don't include iron. And the reason why we included iron in our prenatal is because in the third trimester, many, many women become iron deficient. And then they have to take an extra iron supplement. And we just want to prevent iron deficiency overall. And just from a high level, WeNatal has 24 nutrients and we don't complicate it for people. You don't have to switch every trimester. You could be on our formula from preconception through postpartum, and that's all that you need.
Great.
Yeah. I have a question, because I think one thing that can be sometimes confusing for people that are taking a prenatal is just what you said. Like, do they need to also take an extra magnesium or extra vitamin D, or do they need to take a B complex on top of it? It sounds like with yours, it covers all of those bases. They wouldn't also need a D. They wouldn't need extra magnesium. They wouldn't need a B complex. This would cover all of that. So in a sense, you're actually saving quite a bit of money, because I feel like people are often taking a multi or a prenatal, but then also on top of it, taking all these other supplements.
100%. And that's what we were doing. We were taking the 7 pills that we were taking, plus extra folate, plus iron, plus vitamin D, plus magnesium. That was like so expensive and also just a lot. When you're pregnant, you're going through so much. We want to make it easy for people. So with WeNatal, the only thing that you have to add is the omega, which is what we sell on our website too. Yeah. And the reason why it's not combined is because omega-3s and DHA, EPA, it's so important for that to be pure. And when you start mixing it with, you know, other nutrients, it can become oxidized. So it's two separate products for that reason.
Okay. And I also wanted to touch on, so I actually have quite a few clients who are going to or have recently transitioned off of hormonal birth control, specifically the pill, which depletes a lot of key nutrients that we need, not just for fertility, but for regular, you know, cycles and just to be vibrant and healthy and not have painful periods and all that kind of thing. And to also not have a resurgence of symptoms once they come off the pill. And so that's actually one of the reasons I've been recommending WeNatal to clients, is to help them replenish what gets depleted when they're on hormonal birth control. And so I wanted to touch on that, just because I feel like it's funny when I recommend it, people are always say like, oh, well, I'm not trying to have a baby right now. And I explain, you know, why it's always important to be caring for your fertility, even if you don't ever plan to have a baby. It's why I take it. I don't know if I'm going to have a baby. I'm currently not trying, but can you touch on that? Just sort of like the how a prenatal like yours can actually be beneficial for women who aren't even trying to conceive.
Yeah. And I also want to say our whole medical board recommends, you know, if you're in your adult years, whether or not you're in a committed relationship, the prenatal or an amazing multivitamin is, like Ronit mentioned, it's basically fulfilling the nutrient gaps in our modern day food. And I have, you know, I grew up with a mom who said, well, do you really need supplements if you're eating clean and healthy and organic? I think there's a lot of myths that, like, I'm good, I eat really well, I don't need it. And the truth is that may have been true in our grandparents' generation when the soils and the foods were way more nutrient dense. But in today's day and age, our soils are depleted, which means if I wanted to have the same nutrients as my grandmother, eating one orange in her day and age is like equivalent to eating 8 today. So you're just impossible, even if you're eating the best, cleanest diet. And I want to give that example to people who think they don't need supplementation. you need good, clean supplements because our soils are depleted. And, oh, by the way, 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. So it's always good just to be nourishing your body and having those nutrient stores, because at the point of conception is also when a lot of the genetics for your future baby is determined. And so a lot of our friends started taking a prenatal, you know, when they found out 6 to 8 weeks, and it's still great at any point in the journey, but there's so much you can do those 3 to 6 months before to really ensure you're basically prepping your nutrient stores. And as we also know, if you are to get pregnant, the baby is kind of that perfect parasite that will take all the nutrients from mom. I remember getting my first root canal after my first pregnancy. They will literally deplete you. I broke a toe after my second pregnancy because I became so brittle, because I was also, like Ronit mentioned, the one that couldn't down all the different supplements and all the pills that I needed. I just couldn't physically do it. And so that's why when you're not nauseous, when you are just in your adult life, getting into this practice could really be an incredible, insurance policy.
Yeah. We always talk about building your nutrient reserves. And if you have more time, the better. And we also talk about how the postpartum phase, now more and more research is coming up on postpartum depletion and actually how postpartum depletion can last at least 7 years. And one of the main ways to combat postpartum depletion is actually in the preconception timeframe, where you're building all of those reserves so baby doesn't deplete you as much as, it could.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
Yeah.
What about the craze of, this might be throwing you for a loop, but the craze of green powders and, you know, not going to name names, but it's like everything you need is in the powder. But also, Thomas got an off-brand one because he was like, I refuse to spend that much money. But then we looked at the ingredients. It's like, if you really, I think key takeaway, there's benefits in different supplements, right? But a lot of times people aren't looking at the ingredients and like the percentage of each, vitamin that they're, Athletic Greens, I think, is better than like the off-brand one that we got. But I just wanted to make the point that we buy these things, we don't look at the actual amount of each vitamin and nutrient. Are you actually getting what you need? And in many cases, it's not enough. And so that is why we have to supplement with something that has the full complement of nutrients.
And then the other thing to add on these greens is that a lot of the greens on the market have high heavy metals, and it's important to ask if it's third-party tested. I actually don't know if they are, because I actually tried it, but like couldn't, like the taste for me, like couldn't do it. So I never actually dove deep to see if it has third-party testing, but it's very important with any supplement that you're taking to ask if they have third-party testing, because that looks at heavy metals, mold. It looks at your label and makes sure that what you're saying is on your label is actually in it. And so we have people ask us all the time for our third-party testing documents, and we send it to them, because we also want to make sure that what we're giving people, they're consuming it, is of high integrity.
Mm-hmm. And on, also, my other part to that question I wanted to ask was, is it too much to be taking something like your prenatal and also having a daily green that has a lot of these similar?
Yes, it is. You know, we have a nutrition advisor. Her name is Kathy Swift, and she is, they call her the mother of functional nutrition. She actually was the one who got Dr. Hyman into functional medicine years and years ago. She's amazing. And she always talks about this U-shaped curve with nutrients and vitamins. Not too much and not too little. There's a sweet spot. And when you are getting all of these fat-soluble vitamins from your nutrients, from your supplement, prenatal, whatever you're getting, and also adding these greens that have vitamin A, vitamin E, it's too much. So we always tell people, like, first of all, they have to talk to their doctor if they're starting to like mix and add, but also like we tell people they can't take the greens with prenatal.
That's okay, smart. Great. Yeah. And, you know, that's something I've sort of been diving into more recently as well, because I've had quite a few clients dealing with hormonal acne and doing more research and realizing, like, if you take too many B vitamins, like, that can actually trigger it. Or if you take too much even vitamin D or zinc, like, that can make it worse. And then you're thinking, like, I'm taking these greens and I'm taking this prenatal and I'm still breaking out. And it's like, you know, too much is not always, more is not always better. So to your point, it's finding that sweet spot. We call it like the Goldilocks dose of things too.
Exactly. And by the way, too many B's can cause a lot of anxiety too in some people. And when we first launched, we had actually like a slightly higher dose of B vitamins and we reduced it because we just, you know, we kind of found the sweet spot too.
Yeah. Also the niacin flush, when there's too much niacin in there, you can actually like break out in hives. And that was happening to me. I've had it happen to multiple clients with like the high dose B complexes. And yours, no, those clients that had issues, I switched them to your prenatal and no issues whatsoever. Same with me. So testament to the amounts. But I actually wanted to switch gears a little bit just because I think it was you, Vita, that was saying, I'm sure both of you sort of felt this way, but like, what did I do wrong? Like, what could I have done better or different when you had the miscarriage? And I think a lot of women can relate to that, of like, fully taking the blame themselves and just being like, oh my gosh, I should have done this, or I didn't do that, or blah, 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 blah. So, and that creates a lot of shame and guilt. And, you know, even the fact that most women don't share their pregnancy until the second trimester shows like the amount of like shame that there is around it, like not wanting to get your hopes up, not wanting to say I'm pregnant and then be disappointed or have to tell everybody I miscarried. So can you talk a little bit about the shame around miscarriage and help to normalize it and open up the conversation, and also to share what sort of support systems are important for women and couples when this happens?
Yeah. And I'm so glad you asked me, because part of our mission with WeNatal is to ensure that women didn't kind of have the same journey we did, which is take on all that burden and shame and guilt. And so let me tell you, my first miscarriage was actually after the first trimester. And so I had already told everyone, which made it that much more traumatic, I guess, for my first. I, similar to most, think you're safe after 12 weeks, went to the next appointment and there was no heartbeat. It was one of the most devastating losses. I went into a deep postpartum depression after really doing everything you said, completely reanalyzing, going to every doctor under the book. What did I do wrong? What's wrong with my body? Will I ever have kids? Which was a very dark thought. You know, you're thinking your body failed you, or you did something that failed. And I, one, want to change the narrative to say that, like, listen, I did everything I could with the best of my ability at that point. I uncovered so many things in that journey that made me so much better and stronger after. I didn't know in the moment why it happened. I didn't have a practice of gratitude at that point. I really was in a dark space. And all I'm here to share with the audience is, like, it takes two. We both have to put our best foot forward. We both have to look at everything we did leading up and work on it together. And even in those dark moments after my second loss, I, you know, really tried to work on my gratitude practice. And that is just a simple tool, even on the worst days, that can shift your mind space, that will help your body. I, like many people, have a very stressful job. And typically, you know, doctors told me you're adrenal fatigue, you're in fight or flight mode every day. And if that's true, your body can't necessarily prioritize conception. It's, and there's more and more research coming out about the mind body connection, when in before it seemed to be a much more like woo woo there, you know, yoga and meditation didn't seem like mainstream. I'm so happy it's becoming more, not only researched, but also more acceptable as a very important part of this journey. And that's why it's part of WeNatal. We knew we could give you the best supplement, but if your mind is not necessarily in the right space, it's going to be harder. And so the one thing I will say is that WeNatal is here to shift that narrative from me to we. We want to shift the gender paradigms that have existed for hundreds, if not thousands of years. we want to help women not feel alone in the journey, also have community. Even if we have so many friends who are choosing to be a single mother on their own, getting sperm donors, we Natal is your community. We are here to share the ups, the downs, the education we learned along the way, the things that you can do that are not just about, you know, what is in your everyday life, but like the lifestyle, the habits, the community that's proven to help share some of that burden. And so we just want them to know they're not alone. There's so much they could do. There's a lot of optimism that came with We Natal when in our journeys, we were basically told, just keep moving along, just keep doing your thing. And then we had to find our own research, what we can do. And that's the other really big bit of advice I have for all the listeners is, always take your health and your journey into your own hands, right? All our doctors are well-intentioned. They wanted the best for us, but the reality is no one knows your body like you. No one knows what you need more than you. And like you said, like Tom's was clean a couple of years ago. Now there's better, cleaner brands. Like the research keeps changing and it's important for you to be a student of the research, right? Like you can't take what anyone else has to say. You have to do what's best for you. And I was told by a lot of people, just take a prenatal. They're all the same. Not all prenatals are created equal, the same as any other product in the market. And it's kind of on you to, like, through your own practices, find what's right for you. And I will share one other bit of advice on the miscarriage journey. It was really easy to look left or right at friends or family and say, well, they're just eating junk food and they got pregnant so easy and had a healthy baby, or they're doing X, Y, and Z and it wasn't any problem for them. And trust that your journey is your own. I know it's hard when you're in it to like see the light when it feels very dark, but stay true, I guess, to your own journey and try not to do the compare game. It's very toxic. I did it and I was, you know, it only added to the depression. And in my second time around, I had such a different perspective. I had more gratitude. I had more, you know, of these items that helped me get through it. And obviously community and my best friend was a big part of that. But I could just say, I kind of learned it takes a village, not just for childcare and all that, but for the emotional support that you need. You're not alone. No matter how you're choosing to start a family, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what your gratitude practice looks like, or a simple exercise someone can do?
Yeah. We have the We Natal journal, which really was about getting back to this mind-body connection. It's a 3-minute a day, which really just asks a few questions to shift our kind of biochemistry. And it's really this, it's today I'm grateful for, and listing what you're grateful for in that day. 5 dreams for me and my family. And like we chat about, Jess, it's talking about it as if it's happening. No more ifs, no more maybes. It's like, I am having a healthy baby. Really talk about your existence as if it's happening. A loving thought for my baby today, a loving thought for my partner today, and one loving thought for myself. And that sometimes was the hardest one for me, but it's just really going back into shifting, even on the darkest days, what is actually you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. On that note, I think too, it's so helpful to have a visualization practice of like visualizing what it will feel like. And, and I hear this with so many, you know, as a health coach, I hear it from clients, like, I don't want to get my hopes up. Like, I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm going to just like play it safe and not get my hopes up. Like, I don't want to visualize it, you know? And it's like, gosh, like that, I totally understand that, because there is that chance that it may not work out. So can you speak a little bit to that and like that power of visualization and actually how that positive mindset is super important to help you get through, you know, and thrive during this time, instead of, you know, I think often it's like, I'll be happy when I have a baby, instead of like finding a way to enjoy the journey now, you know, or like we'll be able to thrive as a couple when we have a baby. Right now, everything's shit and like we're arguing and not getting along and, you know, short tempered.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. We've been there. And, I think I learned a lot from, this doctor that I worked with. Her name is Dr. Elizabeth Boham. She had cancer and she said that gratitude actually is probably one of the main reasons why she healed from cancer. And she said, listen, like, you are going through so many negative things, it's hard to have a gratitude practice. But if you find one thing to be grateful for, the sunshine, your warm blanket, whatever it is, it's like a muscle. The more you do it, the more you find things to be grateful for in life. And, you know, it's interesting what you said about people not wanting to build their hopes up. But in the practice of manifestation, sometimes we tell people, you know what, like, you've been struggling, go buy a onesie, like, start setting up like a baby's room, like, live as if it is, and things get aligned in the universe. We've done it ourselves. We see it. And there's research that actually shows that gratitude changes your brain chemistry. This isn't like woo-woo anymore. I think it used to be like 10 years ago, but more and more research is coming up. This is actually like scientific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been learning more about that too, because, well, my sister's starting this manifestation course, and I'll be honest, like, when I hear people talk a lot about, like, I manifested this, I manifest that, I kind of am like, it feels a little obnoxious.
It can be cringy based on how they're saying it.
Based on how you're saying it, because it's like, but so many people struggle and so many people don't get what they want. And maybe they did do those things. But then I started doing more research, and actually there is quite a lot of science behind the rewiring of your brain and the way you speak to yourself. And there is just a lot more to it. So, but, you know, that being said, there's a lot of people that have done everything and they still can't have a child. So it is, but there's so many factors at play. And I think the other factor we haven't talked about is sort of the hormonal piece and also what's going on in your body. So the testing and understanding what could be imbalanced that could be contributing to infertility. And in our, you know, we do hormone testing and education for women, but we've heard from so many women that they go to their doctor and they're just given, I mean, they only have the standard test to work with most of the time if you're going to a traditional Western doctor, but they're given a one-size-fits-all test, everything's normal, sent on their way. But lo and behold, there's so a treasure trove of information when you explore other kinds of testing. So what, and I know you just did a webinar on this yesterday, what is the suggested testing that you tell women about to analyze where they're at with their fertility?
So to answer your question about testing before conception, I think it's such an important thing, especially one big one that I know you gals do saliva testing. So looking at your stress hormones, so cortisol is a big one. And if you're highly stressed, your body is not going to prioritize reproduction. So making sure that you have, you know, the right cortisol,
diurnal curve. Yeah.
Yes. The curve is the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And then looking at your reproductive hormones, making sure you have enough progesterone, and then thyroid is a big one, and one that I'm super passionate about because I have hypothyroid, and just making sure that you're on the right thyroid protocol, whether it's medication. And then when you get pregnant, it's important to know that you should be working with your endocrinologist or your OBGYN to adjust your thyroid medication, because oftentimes your thyroid need increases. And then the other big one is looking at your metabolic status and your blood sugar, your glucose, your insulin, your hemoglobin A1C, and then looking at your inflammation, Again, you can also go deep and look at your nutrient status and look and see if you have like nutrient deficiencies, because a lot of people do. And so the company that we partnered with on the workshop, they're called Poplin. Their website is Get Poplin, and they run a bunch of pre-pregnancy tests, but a lot of it sounds like you guys do as well. And, you know, oftentimes you can ask your practitioner OBGYN to run tests for you as well. But you kind of have to be the one that's proactively asking.
Yeah. What about fertility specific markers like LH, FSH, AMA?
I want to say like it's important and it's good to know. But it's also, AMH, for instance, you can have low AMH, which means you have essentially a low egg reserve. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the eggs that you do have are low quality. So it's a little kind of hard to look at women's fertility. When I was, before I met my husband, I think I was 34 and I looked at my AMH and it was very low. It was 0.5. And I remember saying to myself, I'm not going to freak out. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to have healthy children or get pregnant. I live a healthy lifestyle. I got pregnant pretty easily with my first, with the and then after I had my miscarriage, 3 months later, I got pregnant with Emma, also on first try. So I think a lot of times people get these numbers and they get freaked out. And it's very, again, the mindset component is key because these numbers can be stressful. And again, stress is not helping the situation either. So it's just important to just know that you're doing all the right things to nourish yourself. And
I think that's a good distinction to make, because when I say it's important to have answers about underlying imbalances, but some of the, especially the fertility markers, like you can't do much about that. You know, you can't really. So the mindset piece is huge. But where we see women get sort of turned away from doctors is like the standard tests for testosterone and DHEA. Whereas if you did a more advanced form of testing, you might see that maybe you have higher levels of those hormones. Maybe you're at risk for PCOS or insulin resistance, which maybe that's hard to see, but there's so many things you can do about that to then reverse that to relieve your symptoms.
Knowing is power, right? Yeah. Like if you don't know, it's harder to play the guessing game. But I think I found so much solace in knowing like, oh, okay, I had Hashimoto's. I didn't know. I had thyroid issues. I had all these things that once I knew, I was able to help.
Yeah. And same with estrogen and progesterone. Most women that we work with tend to be low in progesterone. Mm-hmm. And even if they're not, they're maybe dealing with higher estrogen or an imbalance to the point where maybe using a little Vitex or progesterone cream would be helpful. And we see that it is all of the time. Not everybody needs it, but in most cases where people top up for a period of time, depending on your age and how long you need it, it can make a world of difference. And so we need to know these things. But I agree, like the AMH, I did fertility. I froze embryos with my partner. And so some of that information was, I was like, wait, what? My AMH is a little bit light. I didn't know that, even though I had a great number of eggs. And I think I did fall into that mindset thing where I got kind of negative while I'm doing these shots. And it just wasn't, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But there are a lot of things that we can do to optimize our hormones and get great results.
Totally.
Oh. Sorry, I got muted. But on that note, I just wanted to point out too the importance of knowing that you're ovulating even before, you know, trying to conceive. I think it's so important to get in the habit of understanding the signs of ovulation and knowing that it's checking your cervical fluid and knowing how that changes throughout the month. It's taking your basal body temperature and looking for that rise in temperature, you know, 4 days in a row. And there's so many awesome, you know, companies now, especially like Natural Cycles, where you get the thermometer and they have an algorithm and you can see your fertile and non-fertile days. And that's one of the biggest myths, I think, or misconceptions, is that these tracking apps, like whatever cycle tracking app that you're putting in, that it knows somehow magically when you're ovulating. And it's just a prediction day. Like it'll, if you have a 30-day cycle, the app is just going to say, hey, you ovulated on day 15. So a lot of people who are trying to conceive are thinking that they're having sex during a fertile window when actually that's not actually when they were ovulating. Or to Ry's point about progesterone, like earlier on, before you start trying, you want to make sure that you're regularly ovulating so that you're producing enough progesterone. So that, again, is a super important reason to get in tune and empowered by learning more about your ovulation and how to track that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And especially like your first time around, I think like half the battle is figuring out when you're ovulating. So mm-hmm. we love natural cycles, and there's so many like great companies now out there that help you with ovulation.
Quick question on that. What are your thoughts on OPK sticks, like the ovulation predictor kits?
These are the ones I think
where you pee on the stick.
Yeah, I think they're fine too. Honestly, I use that with my second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so exciting that, you know, we want to come full circle. We're coming up on time here. And so share with us, you know, you just said that you gave birth. So you have two daughters, Ramit, and then Vita. How about you?
Also have two girls. So it went on to be a success story after both losses. I have a 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old girls.
Oh, beautiful. And Ronit, how old are your daughters?
7 and 3. And I just want to say, before developing WeNatal, we actually put our husbands on all of these antioxidants and nutrients that I was talking about. And they implemented the diet and lifestyle changes, kicking and screaming, especially his husband. And we got pregnant. So yay! Happy ending for both of us.
I think Ryan asked, like, it's harder when you're my partner, especially. He's very resistant to anything deemed healthy, right? He loves to enjoy life and live life to the fullest. And typically I become that whining negative person. I had to stop myself and really just sharing data and research is so much more powerful, or even Ronit telling him versus me telling him. But like, I just think you find the ways, or like she also mentioned, buying it, making it easy. I would put the supplements out on a napkin after breakfast and just like take, you know, like, but you find what works within your relationship. But we find the men who are involved in WeNatal are so excited to put, like, help their partner, support their partner, put their best foot forward. And it's been really, really rewarding. But everyone, you have to find your own journey within your own. I know my road wasn't always a smooth one, but like I said, everyone's journey is kind of their own.
Yeah, for sure. Are your kids friends? Do you guys live so close? And they're so close in age. They're pretty much the exact same age.
Oh my gosh. We call our working days bestie days because like we get together on the, like, pretty much every weekend and work, and our kids just like go off and play, and it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, what a dream.
It's incredible how many things you have in common. I mean, you feel like twins to me.
Yeah.
I feel like they're dressed alike for those that can't see them. But you have so many similarities. It's amazing. But I wanted to, and I we want to let you go soon, but I obviously you didn't have your prenatal developed by then. So you were taking the nutrients, the antioxidants, things like that, that have then ended up being in your prenatal. Could you share briefly, each of you, some of the massive major things that you really feel, and I know we've touched on them, but to summarize, really made a difference in the first birth of each of your children?
For me, it was the aha about men's health. I thought I was doing everything right, but I was completely ignoring what he was eating. He wasn't taking any supplements for, you know, the first round. So for me, that aha kind of changed the dynamic and also changed our success. And when he got on the regimen that Ronit helped us piece together through the research, like, oh, we need to take this and this. And so it wasn't easy when we were doing it because we were taking multiple, but we did it and it worked. Mm.
And I'll say on my end, yes, it's like the nutrients for me and him, but also I did acupuncture for 3 months leading up to my pregnancy with Emma. And I actually went 2 to 3 times a week to acupuncture. There was a school of acupuncture next to my house, so it wasn't super expensive. You can just go and like students do the acupuncture on you. Oh. And I did that for 3 months religiously and actually did not try for 3 months and let my body heal from the loss and really worked on nourishing myself before trying again. And then I tried, and actually at the age of 41, I got pregnant naturally on my first try.
Wow.
Funny story, like I didn't even think my period was a day late. So I was like, oh, my sister was at my house and I thought to myself, oh, it would be so fun to like take a pregnancy test and find out I'm pregnant. And so I did. I looked at the stick and it wasn't the two lines. So I threw it in the trash. And then the next morning, my husband, for some reason, was digging in the trash and found it. And he was like, look, there are two lines. And I'm like, no, that can't be. That can't be. That's from yesterday. It's old. No, it doesn't make sense. It's like, no. And then I did another pregnancy and lo and behold, I was pregnant. So,
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. But like, why was your husband digging through the trash?
This is a whole other podcast about OCD and all of that. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. In this situation, it helped. So it was good.
That gives a lot of hope for, you know, like we ended up with two embryos that are currently frozen and we're just not ready yet. But our mom had me at 41, Jess at 38 naturally. So I always was like, oh, I'm not going to wait that long. And now I'm seeing myself probably being on that trajectory. And I'm just trying not to stress about it. And what will be, but it, you know, a lot of women feel like late 30s, early 40s, it's just not going to happen. And it very much does.
Yeah,
absolutely. It very much does. And I will say that's what I told myself when I had the low AMH, because my mom had my little sister when she was older. So I was like, if my mom did it, there's no reason why I shouldn't. Plus, like, I live a healthy lifestyle. But I just want to share something with your listeners. We have an employee on our team that just had a baby at the age of 56.
Wow.
And she did get an egg donor, but she carried her baby to term. So there is hope for anybody at any age. And it's honestly, it's never too late.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that message.
I love that message. And Jess, I don't know if you had anything else, but I was just going to say, I'd love to wrap up on how people can find you in your community. And just to touch on one of the last things you said about how you stopped stressing or you just focused on yourself. And we hear that all the time, especially mm-hmm. for women that go through multiple IVF rounds or they're just, it's not working out and they feel so down and they just say, I got to take a break from all of this. And I think, yeah, it's just a reminder that stressing out about it and focusing too much on absolutely being perfect can be a problem too. And so to not stress, I think it helps, or to have help with that, it helps to have a community. And so I wanted to hear how everyone can find out about your business, find your supplements, but also it sounds like you have a community element too. How can they join that?
Yeah. So for starters, people can follow us at @we_natal. We share a ton of content and knowledge and information from our advisors and just like the latest research on Instagram. Then all of our subscribers who subscribe to We Natal can join a private Facebook community. And our free guide to conception is wenatal.com/guide. And people can always email us. We respond to every single DM, email, care@wenatal.com. I'm happy, you know, we're here because we just don't want people to go through what we went through, and we're happy to support them wherever they're at in their fertility journey.
Amazing. Well, we'll also put in the show notes my link, because I'm an affiliate. So we'll put the link in the show notes and you get a free bottle of the omega-3 DHA when you sign up for a subscription, which is an incredible offer. So definitely take advantage of that.
Definitely.
Yes. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you
for all your time.
We hope that you enjoyed that episode with Ronit and Vita. We loved it ourselves, and we actually are excited to hopefully collaborate with them on some things in the future, because there's so much synergy between what we do and what they do. And if you love this episode or you want to share it with a friend or family member that you think could really resonate or benefit from it, we would absolutely love for you to share it with them, to review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You just hit the follow button and that makes sure that you don't miss an episode. And we really do appreciate hearing from you. We read every single review, and it also helps us to, you know what you guys are loving and the type of guests that we should bring more of on the podcast. So you can always send us your feedback by DMing us at Solo 2.0 podcast on Instagram. And with that said, even if nothing feels right today, you tuning into this podcast and opening your mind is enough. Change doesn't happen overnight, so be patient and kind with yourself, and good things will come. We'll see you next time.